Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're beginning to see how sin and death is spreading through Adam and Eve's children. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, as we go back to basics.
As we come to the fourth chapter, the first man and woman have been expelled from their original home in the Garden of Eden. Their fellowship with God, their Creator, has been severely restricted. Their bodies, as well as all of the rest of creation, have been infected by a powerful, destructive, evil force called sin. And that destructive force is now going to begin to manifest itself in the human family. And so we read, now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Cain was evidently the first person born. And Eve thought that he was the fulfillment of the promise. You remember God had declared in pronouncing his judgment on the serpent that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And it seems that Eve thought that her firstborn son was going to be the one to fulfill that prophecy. But tragically, as we will see, Cain was not the one to fulfill the prophecy. He was actually the one who would follow more in the footsteps of the serpent who had originally deceived Eve. And so Cain is born, and then Abel then comes along. And we're told that he is a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, of course, many, many years have passed. We have the record of the birth of these two, and now we find them in adulthood. And I don't know that Abel was born second. There were probably other children that were born. And we're going to see that in a few minutes. But we've now moved ahead without any details of their youth or, of their growth or development. And now we find them as grown men. And they are offering, an offering to the Lord. And we read that God did not receive Cain's offering, but he did receive Abel's offering. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're actually told why it was that God received Abel's and he did not receive Cain's offering. And there we are told that it was by faith that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice to God than Cain. And so really the distinguishing element there in their offerings was faith. Abel offered an offering in faith where Cain did not do that. Now, it couldn't be that Cain had no faith in the existence of God. He certainly did believe in God's existence, and he comes before the Lord in some way with this offering. His faith lacked not in the existence of God, but in the ways of God. You know, it's possible, and there are many people in the world today who believe in God. They believe in a supreme being. They believe in a divine creator. They believe that there is a God. They're not atheists. They're not agnostic. They're theist. They believe that there is a God. But they do not believe in the ways of God. And they assume, like Cain assumed, that you can approach God in just any old way that you decide. They do not adhere to the idea that God is the one who establishes the basis by which we approach him. And those people today are, in many ways, the descendants of Cain, at least in this sense. As you look more closely at this, it's really, again, that distinction that's made between a religion that's based upon a sacrificial atonement or a religion that is based on the works of men's hands. And this attitude that Cain had, this attitude of feeling that he didn't need to necessarily conform to God's way of offering, the idea that he could come and approach God in any way that he felt was right, this is, you know, that distinction that we find to this very day. The distinction between those who believe that they can approach God through their own works, they can approach God through their own goodness or their own best efforts, versus those who believe what the Bible says, you can only approach God through his prescribed method, and you must approach him through an atoning sacrifice, and of course, that atoning sacrifice comes through Christ. Now, the rest of this story is absolutely fascinating. It's astounding to me the way Cain responds, because he's responding to the Lord directly. And notice what happens. So God did not respect Cain's offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So, you know, here is a man who God rejects his sacrifice because it wasn't a sacrifice offered in faith. It wasn't a sacrifice that God had prescribed. And Cain's response to God is one of anger. He's angry with God for not accepting his sacrifice, and the idea of his countenance falling, you know, it's just written all over his face. He is upset. He's upset with God. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is to rule over you, but you should rule over it. So God doesn't receive Cain's sacrifice. Notice here, we have Cain's reaction, we have God's response, and then we have Cain's resolve. Cain is angry. But notice how gracious and merciful God is, even in the face of this angry man. God doesn't immediately condemn Cain. He doesn't immediately dismiss him or cast him out of his sight. God graciously and mercifully takes the time to explain to Cain that he can make an acceptable offering. And it's interesting to me here how God, you know, is reasoning with him. He's letting him know that, you know, we can fix this. It doesn't have to be this way. And of course, again, we see a picture of God's dealings with us. You remember speaking through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord said, "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Come, let us reason together. And God, rather than hastily judging, he's full of compassion. He's patient with our failures. He's ready to give us another opportunity. As I mentioned, I was with my youngest daughter yesterday, and the Lord's just doing a really beautiful work in her life, and we're so thankful for that. But she was telling me about a friend who had gotten into some trouble, and then, you know, there's some really bad things that have sort of resulted from that, and the friend is looking at that as a judgment of God upon their life. The friend is sort of saying, God's punishing me for something I did in my past. And so my daughter said to me, she said, "Now, you know, is that true, Dad? Do you think that that's what's going on?" And she told me a little bit about, you know, the situation. And I said, "Well, you know, I mean, you know, there are times when that does happen. The Bible does say that whatever a man sows, he will reap and so forth. But, you know, on the other hand, God is so merciful." And she said to me, she said, "You know, yeah, because I was reading in this one passage, it said that God hasn't dealt with us according to our iniquities." And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's Psalm 103. I love that psalm." And that's a truth. God is patient, he's merciful, he's gracious, and we see it so clearly here with Cain. He's upset, he's angry, he's mad. And yet God, so patiently, saying to him, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" So God is basically telling Cain, look, there's a way to get this thing righted. And he says to him, "If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." So God tells him, look, we can get this sorted out, but God also warns him. He's at a crossroads, so to speak. He's at this critical moment where sin is looking to dominate his life. But God says to Cain, he says, but you should rule over it. So God gives him another opportunity. He gives him counsel on how to have victory over this animosity that he has toward God and toward his brother. But look at Cain's resolve. Astounding. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Now, John, in his first epistle, he writes about Cain. And he says this. He said, Cain was of the wicked one, and he murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. So here we see sin in the heart of Cain. We see it manifesting itself in this jealousy, in this hatred that leads him to take the life of his brother, that leads him to murder. Now, notice what John said. Cain was of that wicked one. He was of the wicked one. Remember what Jesus said regarding Satan? He said he is a murderer. He is a liar. Two characteristics of the devil that Jesus pointed out there in John chapter 8 are that he is a liar. His natural tongue is deceitful. When he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his very own resource. That's his nature. It's a nature of deceit. He's a liar. He's also a murderer. Wherever you find murder, you find Satan actively at work behind that. You know, being in Africa, it's amazing how, and you know, Africa has been referred to as the dark continent over the centuries because it has been a place where paganism and witchcraft and idolatry and all those things have had such a stronghold on that continent. And, you know, we hear stories of these genocides that take place. Remember a few years back, the genocide in Rwanda, and 1 million people or so butchered. And just a few months back, maybe you remember, Kenya. And we were actually going to be going to Kenya, and we weren't able to go. Ed went this time, but I remember some months ago we were talking to somebody about Kenya, and they were saying, oh, Kenya is the most stable country in Africa, and it's, you know, it's a wonderful place and all of this, and I'm sure there's many wonderful aspects to it. But, you know, suddenly something went wrong in the political system, and the next thing you know, you've got this sort of genocidal thing that develops again, and people just being murdered right and left. And interestingly, this week when I was in South Africa, the ruling political party, the ANC, the African National Congress, they've been sort of trying to push a particular person into the presidency, and some of the group has rejected that, and they've broken off from it. But the headlines in the paper this week, as I was reading one of the main newspapers down there, they were talking about the split off, and it was a photo of a group of people, you know, hands raised up, grimacing, shouting, and they're shouting death to the leader of this opposition party. You know, I mean, they don't like a candidate down there. They just say, let's kill him. You know, I mean, that's basically what the headline said. But there's just this murderous kind of a spirit all over that place. And that is a sign of Satan's work and his activity. And we see it here very clearly with Cain. He murders his brother. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear, or my punishment is greater than I deserve. So look at the hardness of this man's heart. Now, here's the point that I want to impress on you. We have a tendency in our psychologized culture to think of sinners as sort of innocent victims. Or we think that, you know, people are bad or they're evil because of, you know, well, it's the environment that they grew up in. They didn't really have a chance, you know, and that's why they've turned out the way that they've turned out. Look, here we have a man who grows up in probably the most perfect environment you could have had, with the exception of the garden before the fall. He's living in the world at a stage where the corruption of sin has not really advanced much at all. And so he's living under, environmentally speaking, ideal circumstances. There's a relatively small population on the earth, and all of them are related to one another. And so it's not because of, a population problem that he might have had difficulties. He's got godly parents, parents who love God and have tried to instill within him the right things from his youth. So he's got all of those advantages, but notice what he also has. He has a hostile, rebellious heart against God. And you see, the fact of the matter is this. The Bible tells us that the problem is in the heart. The problem's not in the environment. The problem's not in a lack of education. The problem is not because of poverty and all of those things. Certainly those things make some contribution. But it's very minimal compared to what the real issue is. The real issue is the heart of man. And we see it here with Cain. Here is a man who just has a heart that is set against God. He's angry with God. God graciously and mercifully extends an opportunity to him to get things right. He rejects God's counsel and he goes out and he murders his brother. And when God comes to him and says, where's your brother? He says, I don't know. What are you asking me for? I'm not my brother's keeper. No conviction. And then when God pronounces a judgment on him that is actually somewhat of a gracious judgment because God doesn't demand his life, God allows him to live, but Cain now complains that the judgment of God is too severe toward him. Well, this is amazing.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Spread of Sin and Death, and the resource number is B0018. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.